Fight. Welcome to the Philosophy of Fighting Podcast with your hosts, Arturo and Anoop.
Hi, man. How was your weekend?
I had a great weekend. I was able to visit a New York Combat Sambo. Our good friend, my first coach, Sambo Steve.
Hell yeah.
He had his 20th anniversary. And so it brought back like a lot of memories of this like kind of martial arts journey. Like, why even going to Sambo? Like us watching Fedor, you know, you were the one that told me about him. And so it kind of felt like a little bit of a full circle moment. I haven't seen a lot of these guys in like 5-6 years. And it was where I first started training. So it was just fun to be back on the mats with them.
Hell yeah. I saw you sparring in boxing, rolling. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. It felt like a little fight club. Like it was just an open mat. And so some of the people there were his students that have been consistently going there. But some of the people were like me, people that used to go there and that haven't been there in a while. And at first we were kind of just, you know, like stretching, sitting around, I guess, reminiscing. And then people were like, all right, are we going to roll? And then people just started like, you know, rolling. And then it just felt like everybody's fighting. And then our friend Paul hit me with a knee once like 8 years ago, right in the liver. And that made me puke. And I still remember it to this day. And then he was like, all right, are we going to throw some hands? Like, you know, like who wants to put on gloves? And we're like, all right, let's put on gloves. So
yeah, it seems like a barbecue, but instead of like just meeting for a family reunion, you spar.
Exactly. That's
my ideal family gathering, or just gathering. If a party was just like that, that'd be the best.
Yeah, it's like, do you remember in Braveheart, like they would have these like big events, but then they'd also just fight each other and wrestle. Like, you know, like it was just like,
dude, that'd be so sick. Like, oh, like we're going to the park this weekend for a barbecue. And then you go to the park and you spar and then you just eat barbecue after. That's like that's the ideal day for me.
Exactly. It's just, you get a good workout, you see old friends, you're talking, and then it's just, there's something that bonds you, right? When you're like wrestling and boxing and you're so close to somebody and like holding, like it's just, you're tied in. And it was funny too, because I was rolling with some of the guys, and I mean, I've been a lot more consistent these last 5 years, you know, like the first 5 years I trained there, it was more like, I don't even think I did many Sambo classes. Like I would just go to his MMA classes and his wrestling classes and leg lock class, like no gi stuff, just because I didn't really have a gi and it was just the way my schedule worked. But I wasn't so disciplined. I would just go. And then now I did better. And it was funny because some of the people were like, yo, have you been doing jujitsu? And it was almost like a dirty word because like I was sitting on the ground and my knees hurt. And then Steve was like, all right, get up. You got to get the rust off. You know, I was like, there's no way I could butt scoot with fucking Sambo Steve. So,
yep.
And then he proceeded to judo throw me. And nice. I just was like happy he judo threw me. It was like, oh, this is a good memory for the future.
Mm-hmm. Right on.
Yeah. So that's how, I agree with you. That's how every event should be. And
yeah.
Then you had like a projector and Kung Fu movie playing at like night. So people just hanging out, drinking, having a good time too. So it was exactly like that barbecue that you mentioned.
Yeah, I feel like when people do barbecues, they like, they'll probably play something. They'll throw a ball around. Or maybe like this last weekend, I had an event. We played pickleball, which was fun. It's a ton of fun. I would play that anytime. But it'd be nice to have sparring as a standard sport, like or any type. I don't see why not.
So you go to, it seems like you might do a decent amount of barbecues. You have a good community there. Like what would happen if you just brought gloves, your set of gloves that you always carry around with you? Mm-hmm. So like an event where people that don't normally do martial arts, like how do you think they'd react?
Play. That'd be like the guy that's like, yo, let's play taco football. And then everyone's like, oh, I don't want to do that. You know what I mean? Like there's a fear.
There's definitely a fear. Do you think they would judge you if you did that? Do you think some of the people would be like, yo, sure, I'll throw on some gloves.
Out of 100 people, maybe one.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think there's many people that are like keen on doing that. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't think everyone's as psycho as us.
I wouldn't call us a psycho though, because what is it? 19.
Okay, not psycho. It's just, we're different.
What year did Fight Club come out? Like 1999 or 2000?
I think it was 99.
I think it was like right before the millennium. So it's crazy that Fight Club's 25 years old, but I don't know. I always looked at like boxing like a game. Like, I never looked at it like, and I would always be like the person that would put on gloves when we boxed in like the backyard or something, like in high school.
It is a game.
It is a game. But I feel like most people, do you think most people look at it like a fight, or do you think more and more people are starting to see it like a game?
It can also be a fight. Yeah.
Because that brings me to like something that I want to do. So for those of you that listen, like, obviously I have a startup that I care about. We have like the commercial Renta, and like Renta is my baby. Like, I pitch it to everyone and wherever I can. And in the process of trying to start a startup, I realized it's hard to get your voice out to different people. And like we just mentioned when I was talking about Sambo Steve's gym, our fighting Instagram is actually quite popular. We have like over 8,000 followers, like almost 9,000. Anytime we post a video, we get like 10,000 views. And it's because people love fighting. And so I wanted to see if I could combine business with fighting, because also our fight community is a community. Like, we get amazing engagement. Every time we make a post, half of our followers see it at minimum. Or if you look at like other influencers, like they're getting 4 or 5% like likes, like, you know, and follows. Like, our people really follow. Our people are actual practitioners, like a lot of jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, boxing, people that have gyms, people that have real jobs. And so I was thinking there might be people out there that'd be like, yo, could I pitch to your audience for like 30 seconds? Here's a free commercial. But all they have to do is spar us. Mm-hmm.
30 seconds?
No, 30 seconds to pitch it. And then they have to spar us for 5 minutes. And then
that's a long time.
Yeah, it's got to be long. It's got to be hard. It's like a good hard sparring session. I was thinking 10 minutes, and then I lowered it to 5.
Oh, dang. So, okay.
I was thinking like there could be different ways we do it. You know, it could be like 3 minutes boxing, 3 minutes.
Sure. I think 1 minute for someone untrained is eternity.
And so part of, I don't know who's going to do this. I think at first you're going to get a lot of people that do train, which will be awesome for us.
Sure.
But I'm also kind of hoping we get people that haven't trained that are just like, I want to promote my app, or I want to promote my small business, or I want to just, let me see. Plus, it also depends on who they're fighting. Like, if they're fighting me versus you or something, you know?
Of course.
Like,
hey, just the golden rule of sparring. You spar as hard as you want to receive. So exactly. If there's someone that's timid, I'm not going to light them up.
Yeah.
You play. Maybe. You get a feel. Maybe.
You said the right thing. Go as hard as the other person goes. But I also think, like, I was thinking in my head something like 75%. Like, it should be fun, too.
I'm not trying to hurt anybody.
No, but I think in my head, what I really want to give is, because I've pitched my company in front of lots of audiences, and I know I'm a good speaker and I could connect with people, but there's something so much real about watching somebody just do something they're not comfortable with, or something that's just not traditional, mm-hmm. where you're going to learn more about that entrepreneur than if they just talk about themselves. Like, you need a little bit of both, right? Like, here's 30 seconds to a minute to, here's who I am, where I come from, and the business I have and why I'm good at it. But also now watch me try this thing that is a little intimidating, or that I may not be best at, or something that I've actually always worked on, you know, and here I am really good at it. And it'll kind of highlight a different aspect of who that person is. And the way I felt at the Sambo gym, like, these people, I haven't seen them in like 6-7 years, some of them. But we just started rolling and having a good time and talking, and there was just a bond there. And I don't think you can get that promoting an Instagram ad or a Facebook ad that's clever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's also like what people are willing to watch. Like, if you had a pro football player just taking on some average Joe, yeah, maybe someone might watch it, but it wouldn't be that entertaining. But watching someone that like trains combat someone that doesn't train is always entertaining. Do you know what I mean? Just, like, if I was like, oh, I'll challenge anyone to pickleball, people are like, who cares? I don't care about watching you guys play pickleball, right? But if it's like a fight, you're like, okay, like you'll peek in for sure.
I told this to somebody and they were like, oh, so it's kind of a little bit like World Star. And I was like, a little bit. Like, I like combining trashy and classy a little. And so, yeah, like, fighting is a little trashy, but it's also, I'm thinking this is more martial arts based. You know, we're not fighting on some concrete thing and making fun of each other's mothers. It's kind of like, well, here's my business and here's what I'm doing. And I'm going to also try to do this now, because I don't know, it's annoying. Like, everything is an advertisement now, right? And look, mm-hmm. we need to make money. So everybody's got to make money. And we could be like, oh, we'll do a story and we'll promote your company on our story. And sure, like 500 people may see it, but how many stories are people clicking through, you know? And it's like, are they even like listening or paying attention? Where our fight videos are getting like 5,000 to 10,000 views.
Yeah.
And your friends will definitely watch you fight. I have friends that I know love me, and I'll be like, yo, sign up for Renta or check out Renta. And they'll be like, eh. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if I'm like, yo, watch me spar somebody, they'll be like, all right, I'll do that. You know, like those are my most liked things, even though it's not necessarily the thing that I'm most passionate about. Something I care about. We do this podcast. And so I'm thinking that same application may apply to other people where, and a lot of people don't even have that many friends. You know what I mean? And like groups of people.
Some people are willing to spend money. Some people don't have the money to spend, or I don't know. I think this might be a great medium for someone that has an idea or product in the fight market, because now our followers are the perfect reach that you want. And chances are you probably train if you're already in the industry. I don't know. Maybe you're selling mouthpieces. Maybe you're selling whatever. Or maybe you're even selling like gear, like sparring gear, like gloves. Cool. Let's use those gloves for our sparring session then. Like there's a million ways to go about it. But there's an outlet and reach here.
Our boy, Mike Shear, Protect Your Neck, MMA. And I wore that gear actually at the Sambo gym. And a lot of people were like, yo, this is really nice. And I was like, yo, check it out. We're like, I want to support these small businesses. I don't think my business will succeed unless I help other businesses. Because everybody that signs up on Renta, my goal is they become their own business, right? They can rent out any good service or space they have. Right. And so I feel like I want to promote this, but in a way that's not like, hey, give me your money. Like, I'd rather have your time and we both build off of this together, right? Like, so this would promote like our podcast, like this would promote Renta. This would then promote also what they're doing. So it'd be like a cool, like, you know, win-win-win is the plan. So, and I want to get different types of people. Like, I'm hoping we get some people that have never trained that are a little bit like the Fight Club mindset. Like, all right, if 5,000 people might see this, I'll fuck around for 5 minutes, you know, and then.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the likelihood that that timid person crosses the line for that. But yeah, I would love to see it.
I think, yeah. And then I want to get some people that are, like medium trained, just like me, and we have a good time. I don't know what I'm going to do if somebody's like ultra trained and awesome.
I'm down for that too, man. If some pro is like, yo, I got this, I'll fuck you up for 5 minutes. Hey, dude, I'm cool with it.
I know. See, in that way, I think it'll help. Yeah.
But the harder thing is like when it comes to like scheduling it, you know what I mean? But we'll figure it out.
So this is why I have to talk to John and Zuli at Richmond County Jiu-Jitsu. Be like, yo, can I do this after class once in a while? And I'll just tell people, you got to come to the Tuesday class. You got to come to the Thursday class or the Saturday class, whatever class I go to, just show up that time. And my thinking is the whole thing should last 10 minutes. Like, it shouldn't be longer, because that's also how long TikTok's like maximum thing is, and Instagram. So it'll be like, talk about yourself for 30 seconds. And then we fight for 5 minutes. And then, all right, you have another 30 seconds that you could, or however long you want to talk after that, you can. And see if you keep the people after you fight, because maybe they want to hear from you. So you got to put on a decent performance, you know, and like show some heart.
Yeah, that's fair.
What should the rule set be?
Whatever. We can make it either grappling or striking or a combination, whatever the person is most comfortable with.
Should we make people uncomfortable though, that everybody has to just do everything?
We could do that too, I guess. Yeah, whatever. Doesn't matter to me.
I think there's like something beautiful in seeing people uncomfortable, like to relate it to like history or whatever. Like,
so we choose the form of combat.
I don't know. We're talking about it right now. We're brainstorming.
Sure.
Our audience,
I'm okay with that too.
Our audience could give feedback. Like, if you look at Gandhi and Martin Luther King, they did not become well known or respected until they got their asses kicked. Like, Gandhi would talk about, hey, we have to end racism in South Africa, right? Having all these, because in South Africa at the time, they broke everybody down by you were either white, you were African, you were Indian, or you were like a mixed. And you would actually have that on your ID. And so Gandhi was like, the ID is a symbol of this oppression. And so he would like organize events where people should fight against it. And a lot of people didn't necessarily. So then he organized an event where they would burn it together. And so the cops came to that event and nobody really burned their ID. So Gandhi did. And then what happened is the cops beat the fuck out of Gandhi. And Gandhi didn't raise a hand. But after they beat the fuck out of him, people were like, oh, I respect him because he took an ass kicking.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with Martin Luther King, where he was preaching ending racism and segregation. But until videos came out on the news of like dogs attacking the protesters and fire hoses, then people were like, oh, that's fucked up. If people didn't do anything to him, nothing would have happened. You know, it might have fizzled out. But it was like seeing a little bit of like that vulnerability. And so that's like the artistic side of me, like looking at this, where like you'll see some people like Fight Club, like we talked about, like how much can you know about yourself? And so you can learn about somebody watching them in like a shitty position for like 3 minutes, you know, like trying to get out, like trying to put their effort in, like being vulnerable.
I like it.
That's the goal. So I got to come up with a name. I was thinking like maybe Spar and Speak series, you know, or
that sounds all right.
Pitch and Punch. But I always do alliterative things, but I don't know, something like that. And I guess, yeah, if they're in San Diego.
Yeah, I think that's the right idea.
If they're in San Diego, they fight you. And if they're here, they kind of fight me or one of their friends or something like that. I feel like that'd be fun. Plus then we get more viewers on this, hopefully.
Yeah. All right. You want to get into other events happening?
Yeah, I guess let's talk about just the big thing, Francis Ngannou.
Yeah, huge deal, right? Heavyweight prospect Francis Ngannou signs what people consider a $2 million deal.
I thought it was actually much higher than $2 million.
Yeah, I don't know why they keep calling it like the $2 million sweepstakes. I think it's because he's guaranteed like $2 million per fight or something.
Actually, no. His opponent is guaranteed $2 million.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
I think Francis is getting like the $7 million that the UFC offered. But Francis is also getting other perks. For example, his opponent is getting $2 million. He's also on the advisory board of the entire company. Yep. Like he wanted an advocate on behalf of the fighters, which is something he will be. He's positioning himself
for PFL Africa.
Exactly. He's positioning himself in the future to be a true ambassador of the sport globally.
Yep.
And I don't think we actually shit on him, but I'm pretty sure we were like, fuck, it looks like maybe he made the bad decision going past the UFC because there's been quiet news for a long time.
So that's what John the media Jones has been around. I haven't really gotten on that train. There was the possibility I had mentioned, like, ooh, could this be a Le'Veon Bell situation?
Yes, exactly.
But yeah, I mean, I was rooting for Ngannou the whole time. And even still, when he signs this contract, people are still like, oh, but who's he going to fight or who's he going to do this? And I'm like, that's secondary. Like what he did was monumental.
Yes.
He didn't have an agent. He did it himself. He got everything he wanted and he set himself up for long term. This is a guy at 35. Like who knows how much more he's got? Like this guy won on every front. And then you have people like Dana White who's, you know, saying like that they basically released Ngannou when it's like, no, Ngannou actually just refused to sign. You didn't release him.
Exactly.
And even still, Dana White's like, well, who's he going to fight? Like, dude, that's not even lined up yet. Like, the win is the contract. Like, you think someone's not going to sign somewhere because, like, oh, we'll pay you $18 million to fight our guys. You don't give a fuck what guys those are.
And actually, Francis is going to fight some good people because we just mentioned they're going to get $2 million.
Yeah.
So there are definitely fighters out there. Junior Dos Santos said something nice about what Francis is doing.
He wants to fight him,
yeah, Verdum mentioned something, and I'm not saying these are the best fighters in the world, but you could already see some UFC fighters in the heavyweight division are never going to make $2 million over eight fights.
Correct.
And so you're going to have some prospects that are going to be like, yo, let me win two fights in PFL, and I can maybe make $2 million and get to fight Francis.
Yep.
So this is going to create a groundswell. This is capitalism at its finest, and this is where being less greedy can help you in the long run for sustained growth. Because I bet you Francis is working on a way to get a percentage of like PFL or something, like, you know, like getting equity rights. The same way if you work at Uber early on, you get equity rights. Like you believe in something, you help it grow. A lot of people out there, they should watch the movie on Prime, Air, with Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. It's how the Air Jordan sneaker came to be. But it was such a good business and sports movie and about like taking chances. And yeah, we've always been rooting for Ngannou. It looked like maybe like, oh, fuck. It was like on a downtrend. But this deal with PFL is amazing. Plus, he's allowed to box and do whatever he wants on the outside. Yeah,
which I think the prevailing idea is that he's going to box before his first PFL match.
Whatever he decides to do, he wanted freedom. So he's getting paid. He's getting freedom. He's a fighter advocate now. They're talking about bringing it PFL to Africa. And he's showing that he's, I don't know, not under the thumb of somebody, which I think is like what he wanted to prove to himself in some ways too. So you got to respect everything that he did. And I think there's going to be a lot of good fighters that are going to go to the PFL in the future. Heavyweights, at least. Not all divisions, but heavyweights that are going to be like, I can make $2 million and fight Francis Ngannou.
Yeah, 100%. Who doesn't want to?
I mean, I would. Yeah. He'll murder him.
I'm just saying, pro fighters, most want to fight him now.
Yeah, if you're like Curtis Blaydes, how much do you think Curtis Blaydes is getting paid? Like a couple hundred grand, if a fight? Like, and if he wins and say there's like a backdoor deal, like he's getting $500,000. Like, I doubt, but sure. That's Francis four Ngannou fights.
He seems like such a good guy, too. Let me read you his response to all the criticism he was getting. He goes, it wasn't hard to ignore criticism because I knew what I was working on. I knew that I had the best deal. I knew they were just talking out of ignorance. They didn't know what was going on and was just reacting to general speculation. But that's it. And I'm like, it's just such a nice, he's such a nice dude, it feels like.
He knew
what he was worth. And yeah, even when like Dana White's like saying shit about him, he's like, I don't know why this guy doesn't want me to succeed.
I love it too. I love John Jones was like, imagine this guy calling himself the baddest man alive and then crossing the street. And then Ngannou goes, so then cross the street then.
Yep.
And meanwhile, John Jones is neglecting that Ngannou was champion for a long time and he could have went up and fought him. John Jones was sitting out. And then as soon as Ngannou left and was injured, then he was like, I'm making my comeback. And then he fucking fights Ngannou.
Yeah.
It's more like Jones was
a long
hiding.
Time. He could have said something then.
Plenty of time to say something, but Jones wasn't. Look, Jones is the GOAT, but still, he's also like a little bit of a bitch. Like when he says that, like he could have went up and fought. Like he's very safe with who he chooses to fight. He's very Mayweather-esque and respect. You're the GOAT, but also like Ngannou's right. Like you could have fought me earlier and crossed the street. And this is business. This is a little bit bigger than actually fighting. You know, Khabib started his own organization. Like Ngannou is going to be like the face of PFL and I want to support PFL now even more. Like the way you've been pushing one is admirable, you know, like, and so I feel like the same thing, like I'm definitely going to watch PFL and I definitely want to watch Ngannou fight. Also PFL signed Jake Paul and Jake Paul is huge business in the fight world and has also been shitting on Dana White. And so now them together is kind of like a really cool, formidable team because whether you like it or not, like the Pauls are juggernauts on the internet and they know how to promote and they're going to be pushing Ngannou too now because it helps all of their business interests. So I'm excited to see PFL grow and I'm excited to see, like, I want to see the UFC like step up their game.
Yeah. There's also the big rumor that PFL is going to purchase Bellator really soon and making that big move with Ngannou seems like all the more likelier now because if you can absorb Bellator's roster, then again, you have more potential heavyweight suitors to fight. It is interesting. I do think PFL's in a good position to make a big move. Yeah, we'll see how this goes. There are some things that I really like that PFL does, but I think if there's one brand that I would have liked Ngannou to go to, it would have been one.
Yeah. One also doesn't have the best heavyweight roster. Like Brandon.
There is one heavyweight, a Russian heavyweight, that I think can contend with the best in the world. And he's a freak because he's also like a huge wrestler. And I think that would pose a big problem for Ngannou. He's got like Curtis Blaydes-esque wrestling. Mm. So
what's his name?
I think it could have, forget his name. I'll look it up right now.
Ngannou said they didn't have much to offer more than a fighter and a promotion contract, which was something that I wasn't interested in. Ngannou said of one's contract offer.
Yeah, so I heard an interview with Chatry about it, and the deal breaker for Chatry was not even like the money, it was more of like a seat on the board.
Which is what PFL gave him.
Correct. And that was the difference maker with one championship.
You got to fight for it. It was amazing. In the movie, I don't know if I should give a spoiler away, but like in the movie Air, like Jordan knew his worth and Nike was struggling in the basketball game at that time. They were like a popular shoe, but it was just for runners. Like Bruce Jenner was the prime person. They're like, yeah, we need a basketball player. And they tried to sign Jordan after, like right before the draft. So he wasn't even proven. And the deals that they did were deals that never existed before. And sometimes you have to be the type of person that asks for something that doesn't exist. Otherwise the industry won't move forward, you know? And just right. as easily you could be called stupid and irrational for asking something that doesn't exist.
Yep.
But that's how you become a billionaire sometimes. Like that's how you change things, is by forcing it. Like look at college athletes now, they get to get paid where before they weren't paid, you know? And that took like a lot of fighting. And like, there's debate about that, but I feel like they should get paid because they fucking work 65 hours a week, like training. Like, you know, these college athletes are not like, oh, I have to do algebra and then they're training. They're training, like, you know, right. And then fuck algebra. So you should get paid a little bit.
Okay. So that heavyweight in one championship, his name is Anatoly Malakin. And okay. he's older. He's a little bit light for heavyweight because he's actually the heavyweight and light heavyweight championship in one.
Interesting.
And he has some wins over some good guys, but the real big thing is all of his wins are by finish. He's 12-0 and a bunch of KOs, submissions, TKOs, but it's all finishes all the way through. And he's a Russian wrestler with concussive power. Yeah, he could be a problem, but that would be about it on one champion's roster.
I also heard one championship is losing a lot of money, but I think a lot of
They've lost a lot of money, but they're not losing money now. Now they're making money, but it's just a matter of, you know, working off the debt that they accrued.
Yeah, but when they're making money, I don't even know if they're making profit. But that doesn't matter because I don't eventually want to get bought out. Like, I think like William Morris Endeavor bought out the UFC for $4 billion. Oh. I think some of these promotions are probably thinking like, all right, cool. We have 200 million fans now. Somebody bought
I would say that one is not looking to be bought at all. Chatri wants this to be his golden nugget.
Yeah, we'll see. I think a lot of people say that, but then if they're offered, like, if Amazon goes, hey, we'll give you $6 billion, I think you might be like, fuck, $6 billion's a lie. You know what I mean?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. But yeah, I don't know. Respect to Francis Ngannou for doing that. Like, he's the type of person that may be able to start a fighters union. You know, and that would change the entire sport. Every other sport, for people that don't know, like football, basketball, hockey, baseball, generally the players make 50% and owners make 50%. And in the fight game, in UFC, it's like 80-20. And so a union, like the way the UFC will talk about it, they're saying would hurt the fighters. But if you look at all these other sports, the unions have helped the fighters make the athletes make life-changing generational money. And maybe we might see that in the sport. And if we do see more money in the sport, we'll probably see better fighters in the sport. So you'll have people like LeBron James, instead of going into basketball, like what kind of fighter could he have been? Like being 6'10", 265, and an incredible athlete. Like, who knows, you know? But the beauty part about fighting, too, is it's not all athletics. You have to have a little bit of that psycho in taking a punch, you know, or risking your arm getting broken. So it's the great equalizer.
So who do you think is the biggest winner in this scenario?
I think we are, the fans. I think like
you
all
think the
fighters,
fans are the biggest winner? You or because I would say the fans were the biggest winner if he stuck with UFC.
Okay. I'm thinking long term, though. I think 50 years. Like immediately.
Oh,
it's
50.
Yeah. I'm thinking. Because look, like baseball is 100-something years old, as is basketball, as is like football. Like they've had 100 years to now, like you're seeing contracts for over $100 million now. Like, you know, athletes making crazy money and these sports franchises being worth billions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And right now, the UFC is just one franchise that's worth $4 billion or $5, $6 billion, let's say. Like, let's bump it up. So it's like the Cowboys. But there's 31 other franchises, you know, like, so that's how much more room I think the UFC has to grow. I think the UFC, I think MMA can be the biggest sport in the world. And I think Francis Ngannou doing this and trying to buck the trend and forego like selfishness, I think, a little bit. Not selfishness, but like quick greed as opposed to long-term greed. Like the fact that he's thinking long-term is the best for the sport and is the best for the long-term fans.
All right. I definitely think Francis is the biggest winner in this situation, but I do think that this is good. I wouldn't say for the fans. I think this is, maybe that's why the fans are so UFC sided. I think this is best for Nagano and second best for future fighters.
Sure. Okay, I'll change it. I'll
and then
change
my in the end, this. Maybe that does trickle down to the fans. Sure.
Okay, I'm not gonna say fans. This is the best thing for the sport. I think for the sport as a whole, this is like a good thing. It's pushing it forward.
A good thing.
And look, it might fail. There's a lot of things in life that fail. But the fact that he tries, like going back to what we were talking about earlier about like the thing we want to do.
So the risk
fighting
is
fighting a promotion.
The risk like, is PFL signs him. Let's say he gets a boxing match. Deontay Wilder, Anthony Joshua, who knows? Let's say he loses that. All right, it's not like you really lost too much face. You're still going to check out Nagano fight MMA. If he loses his first MMA fight, especially to someone that he's going to be a heavy favorite over, then you lost.
A little bit, sure.
I think all that momentum goes away.
Yeah, whatever. Look, he still makes $8 million.
He
you
still
know?
Makes the money, sure. I'm saying PFL does not get the return on investment.
That's why you got to watch the movie Air. There's always a risk of no return on the investment, but you got to take a chance to be able to succeed. The 100%. Word entrepreneur literally translates to like the person that deals with pressure, you know, and risk. So you got to take the risk. If you're PFL and you want to compete with the UFC, how many chances do you have at getting the world heavyweight champion?
Yeah.
He's the lineal champion, you know? So you have to like, you got to pay for play. So look, it doesn't work out before like, whatever, it's the right move. Otherwise, your business was going to slowly die anyway because I wasn't watching PFL, you know?
Yeah, do you think the UFC maybe pushed John Jones to heavyweight because they knew they weren't going to be able to sign Francis? We all saw this coming like a long way out because without Francis, is that heavyweight division as exciting? With Jones there, it is.
I think Jones, I don't think they thought that way. I think the UFC and any organization should always be thinking about growing talent and getting people moving divisions and creating some buzz.
Yeah, but I wonder if they're like, hey, John, we would love to see you at heavyweight. Like, I wonder if they gave him that little push.
Yeah, maybe they did. But I think John has been planning this for 3 years, though, no? And like,
well, right. I'm saying like, maybe that was part of it.
Oh, sure. And I bet you when Francis left, they probably were like, all right, we'll pay you a little bit more than you want, John. Like, you know, like whatever you wanted, we're eager to like get back to the table and negotiate.
Yeah.
And they were tough. They were tough on Ngannou, partially because they probably knew that Jones was, they had a backup plan. They're not stupid.
Yeah.
I don't think any of these people are stupid. I just believe more in long-term sustained growth than just quick growth. But I guess you need to have combinations of both.
Yeah. I mean, yes. Right? So... Will you watch the next PFL card that Francis is on?
Yeah, definitely. And I think more...
Will you watch the next card he's not on?
I don't know.
Because I wonder if that's what they bank on too.
Yeah, I'm sure some of the people will though. And it's all about the quality of fighters. Like when Bellator has a fight sometimes, like if like Yoel Romero's fighting or somebody that I know, like I'm going to want to watch it, you know?
Right.
And
so the difference for me is I like PFL. I like some of the metrics they use. I like that they have like a live strike count. Every strike, they have like the speed of the strike and stuff like that. I like that they
awesome.
Do tournaments.
Yes.
So like that stuff is cool. But like I only watch PFL if it just happens to be on and I've got nothing else going on. Like, I don't know. It's never something I'm like looking out to watch. But for one championship, my allure there is... the rule set. I think the rule set is unmatched. Like, yes, they have great fighters. They have the high finish rate. I feel like it's always exciting, but it's all based on like that rule set. How they do things makes it the most entertaining. Whereas UFC, I'm watching it because I'm like, all right, they have the best roster. So for PFL, like they don't have the best rule set. They don't have the best roster. Like they have some cool metrics. Like I need something more for me to watch PFL, a differentiator. If you absorb that Bellator roster, yeah, maybe you have some matchups that contend with UFC. Maybe. Do you know what I mean? Now, if PFL had like the one championship rule set, then I'm all in.
Who knows? Maybe they're thinking about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So it's interesting to see. But again, like, I think one championship is brilliant in that regard, because it's like they don't have to spend the major money that the other ones do to get the talent. If you just have a rule set that invites more finishes, that makes it more exciting. Yeah. So it's interesting to me how this transpires. Like the landscape of MMA seems to be opening up a bit.
I think geography matters too, where one is so Asia centric.
Yeah.
Like they know that they're going to get a pool of fighters that are going to, like, one is their best bet at making it, and it's not the UFC. And so I think, like, that's what they're focused on. I think PFL could be a good middle ground of...
Well, one does want the American market, right? They had a huge successful event in America, which was great for them. They had the best event you could ask for to open up. But they need that American market to really break open the bank successfully.
Sure.
So it'll be interesting to see... not just worldwide, but in America, how the landscape of MMA transpires over the next 3 years. Like, one is making the big push. PFL is now going to be making a big push. Of course, UFC is the giant. Yeah, I wonder how it's going to transpire. And then I also wonder, like, will there ever be a time where we have interpromotional fights? Like, what's his face was just saying it. He's like, that's why boxing is great. We get to see the WBC champion versus the top ranked champion. Like, we get that. In MMA, we don't get that. So when we talk about, like, oh, he's the MMA champion, he's like, no. He's the UFC champion. He's not the MMA champ. Like, in boxing, you could say, oh, he's the champion. He's got the championship in all of them. He's the lineal champion. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. I am pro and con that, though, because, yeah, I'm relating it to, like, NFL, NBA. I like having one body, and this is where it becomes a little bit of a monopoly, though. Like, I like having one body govern something. And then you know the champion from that.
Right.
You know, like, soccer is weird because it's a hybrid, but you have the World Cup underneath FIFA. And everybody knows, like, all right, they're FIFA registered. And then you also have, like, a Champions Cup, whatever. It's very international. I would love to have, like, an MMA, like, you know, like, if UFC was the best at it, but make it more like a sport with, like, rankings. And, you know, you have to fight certain people and you have to fight at certain times. And seeding, but like, official.
I think the UFC looks at itself in that regard. They are the NFL.
I don't think they look at it like that. I think they look at it closer to WWE. Like, we're entertainment. We're sports entertainment. Because if it was NFL, like, you wouldn't have Colby fighting for the belt right now.
That's a great point.
It would just be like, oh, Shockvot. And it doesn't matter if Shockvot's not popular. It doesn't matter if you have a boring style of offense that you play in the NFL. If you get a first down, you get a first down. Like, you know, like, you just won the game. It doesn't matter. And so that would be my ultimate dream. But I don't know if that works economically.
Gotcha. Yeah, I like that. That's a good take. But yeah, the landscape right now, I don't look at the UFC as the NFL in terms of, like, the convincing, like, oh, that is the best champion. That is the best blank weight fighter in the world because he has the UFC championship. I don't necessarily look at it like that. A lot of them are, but I don't think that's across the board at all. And plus, we all know styles make fights, right? Like, there's a guy that's lower ranked and he might be the champion in another organization that has the power to beat the champion in the UFC, even though he may not be able to beat 2, 3, and 4.
So I love what you're saying. And actually now it's making me think of, yeah, like the Olympics and the World Cup. Like, it would be cool to have that. Like, okay, every 4 years or something, like, there's got to be a top 8 organizations, you know? Like, if you didn't make the top 8 organizations, then whatever. And then, all right, so the champions from those 8 organizations.
Yeah. So it was cool because Bellator and Ryzen did that. And I think they were planning to do that, like, repeatedly, like, as a New Year's event.
That's cool.
Yeah, and Ryzen lost all 5 matches. But... I mean, it would be amazing if we saw. I mean, ONE Championship has said it's open to competing against the UFC in those types of things. It's the UFC that doesn't care for it.
I get it.
The UFC only has something to lose in that regard.
See, I think I don't necessarily believe that. I think the UFC thinks they have something to lose. But I think if they move out in front of it, then they'll become bigger. There's so much money in the world for sports. And, like, $1 billion... to us,
if they believe they have the best talent, then why would they even risk versing lesser talent? like something would have to be competing with them where it felt like more, you know, WCW versus WWE.
It's a risk.
Like the talent is starting to get equal. So it's like, okay, well now we should gamble on us.
It's a risk, but we've always talked about it. How many fighters lose, but we still think their stock rises because they lost awesome, you 100%. Know? And it was a great fight.
But
and
those so, fights like, aren't common.
I think they're very common. I like a lot of fighters after they lose, like where I'm like Jorge Masvidal, after he started winning, kind of became a prick. And then when he like lost to, I forgot who, like Usman, he just seemed like sincere. Like, oh fuck, that was good. You know what I mean? Like, I like that. Like, I feel like people are way more humble and vulnerable. And what the, okay. In the NFL, you're a great team. What do? You go 13-4, 5, you still have 5 losses that season. Doesn't matter. You're a fucking awesome team. It kind of builds up fighters as a whole. So like, why are you looking at everything like so, not you, I'm talking about the UFC, like why are you looking at everything as like zero sum? Like you both win, you both lose. Oh, you get better fighters. More people will watch the sports now. Maybe people will be like, yo, my guy, you lost this weight class to Ryzen, but you won the other weight classes. And those other fighters might be like, fuck, I want to make it to the UFC. Like, and pay them better. You'll get better fighters, you get better quality. Like that's capitalism.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love if one championship versus UFC. I think UFC would win most, but there's a couple I'd think otherwise. So it'd be cool to see. And just in general, how the matchups go against each other.
I also see really this, cool. Like, I don't know if it's going to, I think it's going to be the same thing like Pride. Pride was amazing. The UFC bought Pride and then we got a bunch of Pride fighters. WEC was getting cool. UFC bought WEC. We got a bunch of WEC fighters. And yes. I think the same thing will happen. One PFL, they'll probably get bought out. But their goal should be to be bought for like $1 billion or $2 billion, you know, like a lot of money. And so they got to invest a lot of money now.
Yeah, I don't know, man. One championship, at least Chatri has me convinced that ain't going anywhere.
I don't mean that, like, it's
going to sell.
If Google offers him or an Amazon offers him like $8 billion for 50% of the company, like he will, you know, like just a lot of money. It'll still be one championship. But it'll also be like under a banner of some mega tech corporation that needs content for their channel.
In 2018, it was estimated to be over $1 billion won.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I wonder what it is now.
Yeah, I'm no longer talking about $1 billion. I think like their goals should be, because right now, if you look at how much Fox, ABC, like they give the NFL billions of dollars a year. So if you're Amazon, you should be thinking ahead and be like, would I rather advertise on some other sport for $1 billion, a few $1 billion, or would I rather buy an entire sport? You know what I mean? For a few $1 billion and it's on my fucking channel and other people pay us to advertise on it. Like that's the way I would think about it. But look, me and you are believers that fighting will be the biggest sport in the world. Yes. I think that's what I believe in 50, 60 years, because it used to be. Boxing used to be. I think it will be again.
I think especially with the reach you're now getting in those Asian countries now and those Asian countries just exploding. I mean, I said it on like on the podcast I did, but One Championship is the number one television program in several Asian countries. Thailand specifically, where it gets more views than news and like literally any program. We're not just talking just sports, more than anything. That's crazy.
Because it's
fun, especially
to watch
in a government that's a monarchy where it's like, oh, hey, they're going to be on TV. You have to watch it. They still watch One Championship more.
That's awesome.
Nuts.
That's a fighting culture. And maybe a lot of cultures are starting to become fighting cultures. And that kind of worries me too. But that's where I also believe in the power of martial arts. Like, I do believe you can get friendship through like sparring and fighting, like lighthearted fighting, simulated fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I was a multi-billionaire, I would definitely think it's worth the risk. You lose money, sure, but I think it has the potential to be worth it.
I have your mindset too. Owning that sport would be huge.
Exactly. Right. And so imagine you're worth $5 billion, right? And there's a lot of people worth $5 billion. If I had $1 billion, I could pay right now. I could tell 100 fighters, I'll give you $1 million to sign with my organization, fight twice this year. I think that I would get an immediate group of very good talent of 100 fighters if I offered them $500,000 automatic.
Yeah.
Now I take another 100 million and I offer it to 100 fighters, a million apiece, and just fight once. Those are more star-studded athletes. I think I would take away so many good fighters.
Yeah, you could say that PFL kind of did that with their million-dollar tournaments.
I'm saying giving the fighter a million themselves.
Right.
So I would lose $200 million that year probably on roster stuff. And maybe I would make $20 million back. Say I didn't even work that hard. But with that $200 million, you've just created how many great fights with 200 solid fighters? Really good fighters.
Yeah. There's still risk, though, because those fighters get hurt. The talent is tough because if you invest a lot into the talent doesn't have too much longevity. They do get hurt. And it's also hard to time like the right fights at the right time. That's why the UFC is pretty smart in making like the brand everything.
But I'll counteract that. The average NFL player plays only 3.5 years.
Woof.
That does not matter. We love the NFL.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like they've created the brand
by having a good product. So I think if you have the money to put the product in, like fine, they may not last long, but they gave you good effort and you got to maximize it. So I feel like it's there. I don't know. I just feel like I would like to see that risk. I wish I had the ability to do that. I feel like.
Yeah, we'll see. But in either instance, this is definitely making big ripples in the MMA community. Yeah, it'll be cool to see how things transpire. I can't wait until we get an announcement on what Nagano does next.
Yeah, and we'll be there to talk about it.
And I'm sure Dana White will have some words about it too. Yeah. All right, I think that's all on this, right?
Yeah, and if anybody wants to pitch their product and spar, let's do it.
Yeah, Reach out to us, for sure. All right, man. Thanks for listening. Like always, guys, we appreciate it.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Philosophy of Fighting podcast. If you have any questions, suggestions, or if you would like to fight us, send us a DM on Instagram @philosophy_fighting.